We're going to open up our Bibles to Acts and chapter 6. Reading, as you can see, from verse 1 to verse 7. And the passage is headed, The Choosing of the Seven. It's the first section, Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. We thank God for this reading from His words. Over the last months, we've been thinking, reflecting on the theme of journeying together. For we are on a journey, each one of us as individuals, whether we consider ourselves Christians, whether we consider ourselves disciples of Christ or not, we're all on a spiritual journey. But more than being on a spiritual journey as individuals, we're also on a journey together. We have chosen to be together. We have this sense that we have been called to be together. There is this mysterious feeling that this is our place. We have been called to be together as part of this believing community, Evesham Baptist Church. And so we journey together. And over the last few weeks, I guess, been thinking on this theme, all that we can't leave behind. As we've been thinking about our buildings, our premises, as we've been thinking about moving, building a new building, recognizing there are some things as we journey, either spiritually we journey or as geographically we journey, there are some things we cannot leave behind because these things make us what we are. And I've shared with you before that it was, I think, 18 months or a couple of years ago that I sat down and I was thinking, what is it that makes Evesham Baptist Church what it is? And I came up with, and I call them values, but 6 things I felt, just sense, these are important to us as a church, Jesus. And you might think, well, of course, Jesus is important to us. But we need to name it, Jesus. We are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples, daily following after him. Welcome. We are committed to welcoming all. That's the sense I have from the church and making a safe place. Community. We're committed. I sense this increasingly. We're committed to making authentic relationships vulnerable yet available to one another. Inclusive, we acknowledge that everyone has an intrinsic value because we're all created and loved by God. We commit ourselves to honour all who come across our path. So it doesn't matter who comes through the doors, who comes into our community, we seek to include. And involvement. According to gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their, what I call, their right seat. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. And the 6th is that of journey. Together, we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and make sense of him. These 6 things, there may be more, They may be slightly different ones that we would want to articulate. But those are the six that I sense very much. They make us who we are, and they're crucial to who we are as we move on. And this one, our focus today, involvement. According to gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their right seat. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. Now, right away, I'm going to draw some very obvious conclusions from that statement. Involvement, according to gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their right seat. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. The first very simple conclusion, everyone has a gift. Let's say that together. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. Involvement, according to gift and ability. Everyone has a gift, so that doesn't leave anybody out. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has an ability. All are encouraged to find their right seat. What can we say about that? Everyone has a place to use their gift. So not only do you have a gift or an ability, a skill, but there is a place, there's a right place, a right area, a right place for you to be able to use your gift and your ability. The third, in freedom and joy we can grow as we serve. We will all be blessed as we find our place and use our gift. Three very simple things. End of sermon. Hey! No, not really. No. Three very simple things. Involvement, according to gift and ability. Conclusion, everyone has a gift. All are encouraged to find their right seat. Conclusion, everyone has a place to use their gifts. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. Conclusion, we will all be blessed as we find our place and use our gift. Now we're going to reflect for a moment on these. And we're going to begin by checking out Acts 6, verses 1 to 7. So we read this just a moment ago, and if you've got your Bible still open, let's have a look at it. It's a very simple story, and yet very important. There is a need. We read right at the beginning that we have Grecian Jews, in other words, Jews who are from a Greek background. And then we have Jews from a Hebraic, a Hebrew background. The tradition was that they would look, everybody, the community would look after the widows. In those days when you were a widow, you didn't have a pension. Basically what it meant for most widows was that there was nobody, no male person to look after them. The assumption is here that these widows not only had lost their husband, but they had no male children whose responsibility it would be to look after them. That was their tradition. So they have nobody to look after them. So the Greek Jews, the Hebrew Jews, come to the apostles and complain. There's a need. It's a very clear need. And they say at the end of verse 1, their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. It's a very real need. And we might have that kind of need within our own church, but of a different variety. And we might say, hang on, there is a need. We need to respond to that need very quickly. We need to respond to that need well. What is the apostles' response that we read in this passage? Verse 2, so the 12, that is the 12 apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. So the apostles are saying, yeah, we know there's a need, but we are not going to do it. Now, the offence it must have caused. But you're the apostles. You should, of course you should do it. What do they say? No. Do you like that? Does that sound good? The apostles say, no, we're not going to do it. It wouldn't be right for us to turn from what is our gifting and our place, it wouldn't be right for us to turn from that to fulfill this other need. We know there's a need, we acknowledge that, but we're not the people who are going to do it. There are others who can do this. We know our place, we know our gifts. There are others who can do it. And so they give the instruction, choose 7 men from among you, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, and they can do this. Choose anybody you like, as long as they fulfill those criteria, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, and they can do the distribution of food. And so what happens is that there is an opportunity for all to serve in a way that blesses all. Verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now we might say, now hang on, the only way the church in those days was going to spread would be for the most gifted, the apostles, those who'd spent the last 3 years with Jesus, if they did stuff, if they did it, then it would work. And we'd be most blessed if the apostles, you know, they were with Jesus, they saw the miracles, they heard his teaching, they've witnessed the resurrection. What more could you want? But the apostles say, no, we know our place. We know our gift. Therefore, although there is a need and a very real need, it is not for us to do it. There are others who will serve. And so they choose these other 7. And in the rest of Acts, the ensuing chapters, we hear a couple of stories about what happened to those 7. But the result is this extraordinary thing. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. It worked. Any offense that had been caused, people are scratching their heads and thinking, wow, they were right to acknowledge that we all have a gift. We all have a right place, a right seat. And when we find that right seat, when we accept our gift, then not only will you be blessed personally, but others will be blessed as well. Well, I said at the beginning, everyone has a gift. We need to just receive this for ourselves. God has generously and imaginatively gifted you. Is that true? Just think about that for a second. God has generously, and get this, imaginatively. You see, if anybody else had looked at you, they probably wouldn't have given you the gift that you've got. But because God has imagination, he says, you know, John, you know, the gift. I don't know. Everybody else would say this or that, but this is the gift. You know? Well, Tony, God, everybody else would say, well, we know him. We know his background. We know this, that, the other. And God, because he's imaginative, he sees things that we do not see. He said, I'll give you this gift. And that is true for each and every one of us. We can say to ourselves, God has given me a gift, and that's a generous gift. But God has been imaginative. He's been imaginative in giving me the gift that I've given me. Now, what else do we know about our gift? Well, your gift is part of who you are. Just think about that. Your gift is part of who we are. In other words, your gift is not simply something you do. Do you get that? Your gift is not simply something you do. It is part of who you are. Because that's what God has made you to be. Now, do we get that? Do you understand that? Or shall I say it again? Your gift is part of who you are. It's not just something you do. It's not just something, an ability, something you're able to do. But you would say, this is part fundamentally of who I am. Using your gift gives you a sense of wholeness and completeness. Using your gift gives you a sense of wholeness and completeness. Because you say, this is who I am. I live. I truly live when I do this thing. Because it is who I am. It makes me feel whole, strangely, wonderfully. It makes me feel whole. It gives me a buzz to do this thing. Because this is who God has made you to be. This is the gift, the ability He's given you. And you truly live when you do it. Because it's part of you. Two questions. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know how and where to use your gift? That's not a question I can answer for you. Some of you immediately will say, do you know what your gift is? Yeah, I know what my gift is. It's taken me a lifetime to work it out, but I know what it is. I know when I do this thing, I live. I truly live. It feeds me. Others of you are scratching your heads thinking, I wish I knew. Anybody like that? I wish I knew. Do you know how and where to use your gift? Now, for some of you, you'll be saying, yes, I can answer the first question. Do you know what your gift is? You're saying, I'm pretty sure this is what it is. But it may be, when you come on to the second question, do you know how and where to use your gift? You say, well, I wish I had the opportunity. But I've never had the opportunity. It may be that you're a little bit afraid to actually step into it and say, this is who I am. It may be that you're so weighed down doing other things which are valuable things, like the apostles serving the widows, and there was a need and you had to do it. It may be that you're so weighed down doing these other things, which are good things, that you've never really had the space to do what is truly you, to do and to use your gift. And those are important questions. Discovering your gift and how to use it is like finding your right seat. And here I need some volunteers because, oh, Tim, you can be a good volunteer. You're going to be a good volunteer? Okay. This is where the recording falls down because they can't see this. Here I have three chairs. Just to illustrate this, let me just lift them up. Okay. Take a look at that. Nice comfy chair. Do you like that? Tim? That's a good chair. Do you fancy sitting in that chair?
Yeah, I like the
look. You like the look of that? Now, this is a chair that used to be, do you remember these chairs used to be in the church? Used to be here. But we moved them through to the back room and they're okay. You think they're okay? You know, if you lean back too far, they kind of bend a bit. You know, so. And I've also got a little chair as well. Anybody? Tim, would you like to choose one of those chairs? I want you to try all the chairs. You start at this end, sit on the chair. Tell me, what is that your chair? Is that your seat?
For about 10 seconds.
Why not?
It's not comfortable.
It's not comfortable? Anything else? Could I dare to suggest it doesn't fit?
That's true.
That's true. Okay, next one.
Fits
part of you. Now, that's a good thing, you see. Some seats fit part of us. Next one. That's better than the first one.
Yeah. I'm on this one.
You're on this one. It fits you. Okay. Try the last one. Did you hear that? Oh, yeah. You could spend some time in there. Why could you spend some time there and not, for example, on the second one? You can relax fully on that one. You'd fall asleep. No. Okay, you'd fall off that one. You'd fall asleep there. Okay, thank you. Great. Now, discovering your gift and how to use it is like finding your right seat. They're all seats. They're all seats. You might see it, and that was great. You know, it fits part of me. And you might say, that's fine. No, it's not. Because God has made a seat that fits you. And you have to work out, what is my gift? What is my right seat? What is the one thing I can do? And it is like finding your right seat. Now, here's some examples of other chairs. A nice wooden chair here, a very strange artistic chair there. There's a graduation chair, I think that is. And that was down as a church chair. Okay? And that's a very gadgety looking office chair. Discovering your gift, discovering how to use your gift, the gift that is you. It's not just something you do, it is you. It's like finding the right seat and sitting in it and going, oh, this is me. You know, I can make myself comfortable here. What can we say? You say, I fit. Finding my gift and finding a place to use it, I fit. I fit. You know, for some of you, you know the joy, the wonderful joy of finding your gift and finding a place to use your gift. That joy of thinking, I fit. This is it. This wonderful experience. I feel comfortable here. Everything about this, it's good. It feels natural. You know, see, hang on, God has given me this gift. Shouldn't it be supernatural? I want to say no. It's natural. It's who you are. You fit here. Then you say, this is what I was made for. This is what I was made for. To do this thing. And then this, it feeds me. Some of us have gifts that we use. But if I asked you the question, when was the last time doing that thing fed you? You would either scratch your head and say, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Or you would say, I know what you're talking about, and the answer's a very long time ago. Some of you. Others of you would say, I'm using my gifts right now, and it feeds me, it lifts me up. When I preach, it feeds me. When I teach, it feeds me. It's what comes naturally to me. And you say, well, how? I have not a clue how, but it does. Finding your right seat, and when you find it, and when you do it, sometimes you have to put other things to the side. You have to put other important things in order to do this one thing well. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, hang on, sounds good, but what if everyone in the church did only the one thing? You know, if we were able to do a real deep survey and say, okay, Dave, you can do one thing in the church. You can't do any more than that. You can just do one thing. And Tim, you can just do one thing. You can't help out anyone else. Just one thing. And Sheila, you can do one thing, but nothing else. I know what you're thinking. Won't there be some gaps? Won't some things not get done? They might. They might. But God has gifted us and God has brought us together. I guess a bit like a jigsaw that comes together. And God, well, he knows about the gaps. And my passion for us, and I sense it among folk as I talk, is what do people want? They want to be able to use the gift that is truly them and to be able to use it well. Finding my right seat. Three words: acceptance, rejection, and affirmation. Acceptance, you say, I accept this place for myself. Acceptance, I accept this place. I might need courage to actually be myself in this place, but I accept it, and that's important. Now, rejection, what do you need to reject? If we're talking about finding our right seats, being involved with our gift, well, rejection. I may have to turn down other opportunities in order to do this one thing well. What I'm talking about here is turning down the good thing in order to do the best thing. G. turning down the good thing to do the right thing. I think there's nothing more awkward than people squeezing into roles that they're not suited for. Have you ever had that feeling? Squeezed into a role you're not really suited for, and yes, you can do it, but it hurts, it doesn't fit, it wears you out, it stresses you, whatever. So you might have to turn down things because you say, no, this is what God has called me to do. Affirmation, receiving the affirmation of others as I seek to do this one thing. And this is where, as a community, we look out for one another and we just say, you're serving in the right place. Well done. How can I help you? How can I serve you? You in that right place. Is there a way you can serve me? With your gift. It's important that we do this together. And the third thing is this. If I discover my right seat, my place, my purpose, my gift. And this is important. Right at the end of that passage that I read from Acts 6. So the word of God spreads. God blessed that group because they were finding their gifts and finding their place. And God blessed them. See, hang on, didn't things not get done? Probably. Lots of stuff probably didn't get done. But they were all finding their right place. And if you do the thing that God made you to do, God will bless you. And others will be blessed. And we can say, I will be blessed as I do it. And others will be blessed as I do it. And that is what I passionately believe. That if together we can say, this is who we are. This is the gift I have. This is my right seat. This is where I can sit and I'm truly me. I'll have to put other stuff down to do this one thing. But I believe that as we do that one thing, and do it well, and affirm one another, God will bless you. It's not about status. It's not about appearing particularly glamorous or achieving fame or anything. It's just simply your heart before God saying, I want to be and to do what you have called me to be and to do. May God bless us as we journey together, as we understand that we're all called to be involved with our gifts and our abilities as we find our right seat together. Let's pray that that might be true together. Father, thank you that you have gifted generously and imaginatively each one of us. Father, you know that for some of us, there are things that we just fall into. And maybe we fall into them because, well, we've just been doing them all our lives and we've never really thought about them. But Father, today we do want to think about them. Father, we want your spirit to be at work in our hearts, that we might just have that sense of you nudging us and encouraging us and saying, I love you, I have gifted you. You want to be blessed and you want to be a blessing. Well, here's how to do it. Do this one thing well. Father, help us. Father, help us together. That we might know what it is to be involved in your work. Either in this church or outside this church, in our workplaces, in our families. Any place where we can truly be ourselves. Pour your spirit out upon us, we pray, as we seek after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.